Welcome back to the Chai Aruch Anachi Yomi Learning Program. You're listening to Daniel Eisenberg, and we are in Sefer Shmuel of Perek Ches. And in today's Perek, we have Shmuel getting older, at least according to the testimony of the divine narrator of the Navi. And he appoints his sons, Yoel and Aviah, to be shoftim over the nation. But the Navi describes that they take bribes and pervert justice, which is a point that is debated in Chazal. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos says it's an exaggerated point, but to some degree they were doing something inappropriate along the lines of bribes and perverting justice. So the nation asks Shmuel to instead appoint a king to judge them, and to the terminology they use is to be like all the other nations. And this request disturbs Shmuel, and he brings up his grievance to Hashem. Hashem tells him not to be offended, because really, Hashem says, they're not slighting you, Shmuel, they're slighting me. They just don't want me to rule over them. That's why they're asking for a king. And he says, okay, but if they're asking for it, warn them what that entails. Tell them about all the protocol of the king and the laws. And Shmuel indeed warns the people that the king has incredible power, takes taxes, continue to take your children for various royal roles with, you know, by force, basically. And there is also discussion in the Mefarshim of how much Shmuel is saying is actually halachically sound, how much of it is maybe not halachically sound, but just meaning it's not halachically acceptable for the king to do all of these things that he describes, but that just practically that's what could happen. But anyway, he warns, and despite that, the nation persists in their request to have a king. So Shmuel asks Hashem again, and Hashem tells him, listen to them and appoint a king. So he says, okay. He says, everyone go home and we'll appoint a king. And that's going to be laying the groundwork for what we're going to see in the next few prakim, the introduction of a king in the Jewish people. Of course, anybody who was paying attention to the Haftarah from yesterday on Shabbos, Shabbos Zachor, so we know that there was a king, there's Shaul HaMelech, and he's going to be appointed by Shmuel quite soon. There's a lot of different points to discuss in this parak. What exactly, what was wrong over here, especially one point that Ramban and many others address, but Ramban and Chumash addresses this, which is that why is Shmuel so upset? And why is Hashem upset? There's a mitzvah in the Torah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah in Parshas Shoftim to appoint a king. So why is he bothered by this? And why is Hashem bothered by this? And there's also questions you can ask and require more discussion about what exactly was Shmuel bothered by, you know, and how justified were Klal Yisrael in their requests and their condemnation of Shmuel's sons. But just this one point that many of the Mefarshim pick up on is that their request was not appoint a king for us, but rather appoint a king like all the other nations. And that request was particularly disturbing. What do you mean you want a king like all the other nations? First of all, Klal Yisrael should realize that they're not like all the other nations, that we don't have things because everybody else has them. We have to appreciate our uniqueness, right? If we're trying to be like everybody else, then we're completely defiling the Kedusha that Hashem imbued within us. We're supposed to be special people. We're supposed to be the Am HaNivchar, the chosen nation. And when you're looking around and saying, I want to be like them, so that is completely inappropriate. But it seems to be a little bit more than that. It's not just, you know, a Chukas HaGoyim thing. That's an aspect of it. But also the fact that they asked for a king like all the other nations, as opposed to having a king for the reason that we're supposed to have a king, that the king of the Jewish people is unique, as described in Parsha Shoftim. There are special mitzvos that the king has, and the king is not allowed to have as many wives as a regular person. Of course, nowadays and for the last 1,000 years, there's been a ban for polygamy. But even before that, it wasn't necessarily such an ideal thing. But kings have a limitation more than the regular person of how many wives they can have, of how many horses they can have, of how much wealth they can have. And a king also has an obligation to have a sefer Torah that he writes or has written for him, and he carries around with him everywhere. But the king is supposed to be a person who has tremendous power and also tremendous humility and is subjugated before Hashem. He's supposed to be a role model. We have, in fact, in yesterday's Kriyas Torah, Vayikra, so when it introduces the Hatas of the Navi, right? It mentions the Korban Chatas, the sin offering that an individual, a Yachid, has to bring. And it says if a Yachid will sin, if an individual will sin, it says that. It says the word im. And it says if the Kohen Gadol will sin, so he brings this type of Korban. If the entire congregation sins, brings this Korban. And it says by the Nasi, Asher, that, you know, which could mean if, kind of, but why is the word Asher used? Chazal say it's that Ashrei, praiseworthy is a generation where you have a king who sins and he admits his sin. And he humbles himself before Hashem and says, I'm not perfect. I'm a king, but I'm not perfect. And of course, we see with our history, some of the kings, like David HaMelech and Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu, who were tremendous tzaddikim and Balei Tshuva whenever they did anything wrong, that was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that was made through these kings. And that's what a king is supposed to be. He's supposed to be someone, yes, who has the power, but the most important thing is that he is a symbol of someone who has great power and attributes everything to Hashem and humbles himself before Hashem. And when you're asking for a king, like all the other nations, you're saying, no, so I want it for like all the practical reasons that every other nation does. Nations don't want a king because that's going to help them get closer to Hashem. They want a king because they want a king. It's helpful for them, for their army. It's helpful for the prosperity of the nation. But that shouldn't be why Klal Yisrael wants it. Klal Yisrael should want it to get closer to Hashem, and that's why Hashem says, look, they're trying to turn away from me. They don't want the Navi system. They want a king. They want some sort of secular lifestyle, and that's why Hashem is bothered by it as well. So we should be able to learn from this, of course, appreciating the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael and not to try to be like the other nations. But even more than that, that everything we do and every request we make, everything should try to be us getting closer to Hashem. So what's going to bring us closer to Him? What's going to inspire us more? Mir Hashem, we should have a Purim of tremendous inspiration where we don't compare Purim to any other, any secular holiday or celebration of any sort. It's something completely unique within Klal Yisrael. But of course, everything we do, everything, whether it's seems to be an act of spirituality or an act of physicality, the goal, the purpose should be just to get us closer to Hashem, as the Ramah says in regards to the halachos of the Suda, in regards to the mitzvah of Adol Yada, and drinking and taking part in all the celebration, echad amar bevechad amamet, whether you have a lot or a little, whether you're very involved in physicality or not so much, the main thing, he's borrowing from Rashi in last week's parsha, the main thing is that you're focusing your kavana on Shemayim, that you're having the goal in mind of getting closer to Hashem. We should be zocha to have that. Freyach and Purim.